Hello, and welcome back to Climate Changes Everything. This is Episode 7, Ancient Solar Energy, Part 3, continuing our deep drill down into the many and multifaceted necessary complexities of natural gas, its stark realities, its tremendous benefits, and tremendous costs. Why go so deep, so to speak, on natural gas? Well, first, natural gas is a relative newcomer to the climate pivotal power system, but has quickly emerged as both the swing vote in the race to decarbonize electricity and as a high-impact, multi-position player in the system itself. That, in and of itself, is a big, complex, high-impact deal, and we'll explore that in greater depth in later episodes. More broadly, though, the impact of natural gas is felt, for good and for bad, around the world and in every aspect of the climate conversation, from more obvious environmental and climate impacts to market and economic impacts to technology and infrastructure. Even more broadly, natural gas is fundamental to the way we live and thrive. Space and water heating, cooking and fertilizers, and thus food production, and all sorts of manufactured goods that we rely on every day. Simply put, a significant part of our modern world is made from and runs on natural gas. So, in my opinion, we cannot make the best eyes wide open climate decisions without a deep understanding of this stuff. So, with that big statement as a frame, let's do a quick recap and then resume drilling down, so to speak. In our last episode, we covered ourselves with bug spray and set the Wayback Machine to 200 to 300 million years ago, going all the way back to the origins of natural gas. And then to ancient Persia, China, and Greece, and some pretty interesting uses, both intentional and accidental, for the stuff. We talked about the curse of distance, the challenges of getting gas from the places where it was found to the places where it could be profitably used, and how, not that long ago, advances in pipelines and other gas transportation technologies finally allowed gas to be used in significant quantities. The technological descendants of those bamboo pipes some 2,200 years ago, which still boggles my mind, frankly. Those advances, bigger, longer, better sealed cross-country and even intercontinental pipelines, unlocked new applications for gas and thus new markets. That in turn spurred more exploration, production, and transportation, and so on until we get the natural gas-dependent world we live in today. Big oceans were, of course, the last barrier, the last gasp of the curse of distance, finally conquered by the combination of maturing liquefied natural gas technology, LNG, and compelling price signals in high supply, low supply, high demand markets like Europe and China. And finally, to recent World Cup host Qatar, a little thumb of land jutting out into the Gulf, Persian or Arabian, depending on who you ask, and the epitome of emergent LNG superpowers. Those high prices drove more than LNG, though. From an exploration and production standpoint, the era of easy gas was over. So, putting climate concerns aside, we needed to get more of it out of the ground in more places. From heating water and air for industrial applications, and more recently for large-scale power generation, we needed to get to the difficult gas. Call it the curse of accessibility 2.0. How can we get more gas or water or oil or whatever it is we're seeking down there from a well? Say hello to hydraulic fracturing and its fellow wonder twin, and or fellow evil twin, as we'll see, horizontal drilling. You guessed it, more white hats black hats, gray hats. More necessary complexity, more compromise. And a lot more history than you might expect. As it turns out, the motivation to produce more, and therefore profit more, from an expensively drilled hole in the ground has been around for a long time. In fact, we need to set the Wayback Machine for 1862, a full 161 years ago, in the chaotic, bloody Battle of Fredericksburg in the American Civil War. Amidst all the terror and chaos and death, a Union colonel named Edward Roberts was transfixed by the image of Confederate artillery rounds exploding in a narrow canal bed nearby. That image planted the seed of invention in Roberts' innovative imagination. Basically, what if those shells would open up oil-bearing rock in the same way they are fracturing that canal bed? And soon, from mental image to idea to product. A local newspaper at the time described it pretty well. Quote, "The torpedo, which is an iron case containing an amount of powder varying from 15 to 20 pounds, is lowered into the well, down to the spot as near as can be ascertained where it is necessary to explode it. It is then exploded by means of a cap on the torpedo connected with the top of the shell by a wire." The results, the newspaper said, were astonishing. And they weren't kidding. Apparently, production in some wells increased by 1,200%, 1,200% after being torpedoed. The device was quickly dubbed the Roberts Torpedo, for obvious reasons, and it was a game-changing improvement on the crude and random explosives the drillers had used in the past. So game-changing, in fact, that seemingly everyone else tried to get around Roberts's patent. Roberts spent massively on private investigators and lawyers defending his patent rights. But it was money well spent. By the time Roberts died in 1881, he was a wealthy man, and his technology was being used around the world to maximize well productivity. And from there, of course, refinement and innovation continued. Some were bizarre dead ends, like U.S. government experiments in the 1960s and early 1970s using nuclear bombs to frack natural gas. To everyone's apparent surprise, the resulting gas was highly radioactive and therefore unusable. I mean, who saw that coming? So the idea was shelved. Hydraulic fracturing, though, aka fracking, that was a game changer on a game changer. A huge improvement on the Roberts torpedo and its descendants. In simple terms, fracking uses hydraulic pressure instead of explosives to open up the necessary fissures in the rock. The hydraulic fluid itself is a mixture of water and what are called proppants, material like sand and various other thickening agents to literally prop the fissures open against the massive pressures of the overlaying rock so that whatever you're seeking can be extracted. Fracking began with experiments in 1947 and was commercially successful by 1950. But it's over the last 30 years in particular, technology improvements and higher hydrocarbon prices, aka those pesky price signals, have caused fracking to grow exponentially. Millions of frack jobs have been undertaken worldwide, reinvigorating old wells and creating new ones, often in places where oil and gas in hard rock formations was just too difficult to access without fracking. But just as it's hard to imagine the highlight reel brilliance of Michael Jordan without the quiet brilliance of a Scottie Pippen or a Steve Kerr, or brash Han Solo without steady Chewbacca, or Thelma without Louise, or one Wonder Twin without the other Wonder Twin, for that matter. I mean, how would their Wonder Twin powers activate? Fracking alone would have been a shadow of its game-changing self without its lesser-known wonder twin, horizontal drilling. Now, remember that geology tends to be horizontal, layer upon layer, as we go deeper and deeper into the Earth, a giant onion of a planet, so to speak. Now, imagine drilling a vertical well into that onion, looking to extract material from one of those horizontal layers. A vertical well will encounter that layer perpendicularly, accessing only a fraction of that horizontal formation, a tiny bite wherever that well happened to hit the layer. Want another bite? Back you go up to the surface to drill another well. Poke, 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 like eating a pancake with a paper hole puncher. I mean, you can do it, but imagine instead being able to drill down to that layer and then turn the drill to run horizontally through that horizontal layer. Suddenly, the whole layer is in play. No more poke, poke, poke of repeated and expensive and time-consuming vertical pricks. Unfortunately, horizontal drilling does not have the movie-worthy backstory that fracking does. No Civil War battles, no nuclear misadventures. Nor does horizontal drilling get the love and the hate that its wonder twin fracking does. Maybe there is some public relations advantage in not having a catchy and perhaps vaguely naughty nickname. But make no mistake, absent fracking, horizontal drilling would be a game changer in itself. Combined with fracking, we've got a whole new world of energy, a modern gold rush. Old wells, new wells, wells in places that had never been considered before. Within the historical oil and gas patch, well productivity went through the roof. And outside the historical oil and gas patch, wells started popping up. Pennsylvania, Ohio, and North Dakota in the U.S., Germany and the United Kingdom and elsewhere in Europe, Argentina, even energy-ravenous China. In other words, more from existing resources, more from otherwise exhausted reserves, and more from otherwise inaccessible reserves. More, more, and still more oil and gas in world-changing amounts. In fact, hydrocarbon importers like the U.S. have even become hydrocarbon exporters, to the point that big LNG import terminals in North America, built at great expense to bring in gas, have been converted to LNG export terminals to send out all the gas that horizontal drilling and fracking have made accessible. Now, despite my love of hyperbole, it is difficult to overstate what an incredible reversal this is. Imagine the impact on global agriculture if the world's deserts were suddenly blanketed with lush fields of corn and wheat. That kind of crazy improbable. Fracking plus horizontal drilling. Wonder twin powers most definitely activated. But activated for good, for bad, or what? White hats, black hats, or gray hats? All energy is compromise, after all. So what do we need to know about fracking and horizontal drilling to make sense of the inherent compromises? Eyes wide, wide, wide open in this age of climate change. You guessed it. It's pretty much an entire cowboy movie full of white hats, black hats, and in particular, gray hats. Not just energy, but also all the other ways we use and rely on natural gas. A lot of necessary complexity, a lot of opportunities for innovation. And of course, more corny analogies and pop culture references. We'll explore all of that in the next episodes of Climate Changes Everything. Thanks for listening.